ocasión, yo pienso que lo menos que los activistas pro inmigrantes podemos hacer es apoyarlos.
De nuevo, Carlos Arango, presidente de Casas Tlan de Chicago.
Les dan un periodo que van a estar 6 años con una residencia temporal, quizás podrán ir a la escuela, pero no van a tener acceso a las becas. Hoy día muchos de ellos están yendo a la escuela porque sus padres los están apoyando, pero de hecho el gobierno no les va a dar esa facilidad. La gente no salió a la calle para tener resoluciones tan pequeñas, tan limitadas, porque con eso se van a tratar de limpiar las manos los demócratas. Decir, bueno, ya les vamos a dar el Dream Act y no veamos el panorama más grande.
El presidente de Casas Tlan señala que Barack Obama y su partido demócrata han tenido varias oportunidades para probar su compromiso con la comunidad latina, pero se han quedado cortos y paralizados por la inacción.
Medidas importantes que se podían hacer, como cesar las deportaciones hasta que no hubiera una reforma, abrir un debate nacional sobre la inmigración, apoyar cuestiones que no son de tipo legislativo, como la 245I, y abrir un espacio para que mucha gente se pueda legalizar. Mientras no pongamos el debate en esa dimensión, yo creo que vamos a seguir realmente recibiendo las migajas, los que nos quieran dar. No se trata de eso. Este pueblo merece su dignidad. Y eso es lo que tenemos que ir.
Gutiérrez insiste en que se debe permitir que los jóvenes continúen su lucha por la regularización de su estatus migratorio, pues tarde o temprano todos los indocumentados tendrán lo que se merecen.
Serán ellos los principales en encabezar la lucha por el Dream Act y nosotros tendremos la responsabilidad de continuar avanzando por una amnistía general incondicional que le dé la legalización a todo mundo.
En Los Ángeles, yo soy Fernando Velázquez.
Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro agradecimiento a la Radio del Sur y a Telesur de Venezuela, al diario La Jornada de México, al Foro Argentino de Radios Comunitarias, a la Radio de la ONU y a Radio Tierra de Chile. A nombre del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez. Gracias por su atención.
Y gracias para todos que se puede oír de este programa, y ahora en inglés, el programa se llama Bathrop Spears Broadsides. That's Bathrop Spears Broadsides coming up next on Freak Radio Santa Cruz. We're streaming, but I'm hoping we'll soon be on the air again. There's rumors floating about that that's likely to happen pretty darn soon. But still, if you have a transmitter site, we can use that kind of information. We can use that kind of access. Do give a call to the station at 427-4523. That's our voicemail. That's where you can leave information. Or you can go online to freakradio.org. Freak, FreakRadio.org. So, Bathrop Spears Broadsides is next. Stay tuned. We're going to be focusing on recent march to the police station by the Peace Camp 2010 and other events on and around City Hall as protesters attempt to restore civil rights to poor people in Santa Cruz. and welcome to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Boy, I wish I could read the name of that particular group. They're pretty lively. I think it's Balogun, but it might be Dinagunum, because they're both at the top of this particular CD. And I think the group is Dinagunum, and the group is Balogun. But the name of that was, I believe, Solidarity. And, hey, you're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM soon, although not at the moment. We're hoping to get back on the air shortly. This is the stream of freakradio.org, and we're also archiving at huffsantacruz.org for those of you who want to catch the past archives. HUFF, H-U-F-F, acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a sometime civil rights organization that, who knows, may meet again soon. huffsantacruz.org, in case you want to catch the back versions, issues, segments, programs of this particular, Bathrop Spears Broadside show that I've been doing for a couple of decades now, mostly about homeless civil rights, other issues too, including the drug war, foreign criminal wars abroad, and other local political scams that are happening. So, in case you want to call in, the call-in number is 427-3772, 427-3772. If you're interested in more information about Peace Camp 2010, I'm going to give you some info on where to get that. You can, of course, Google for Peace Camp 2010, and you'll eventually end up at the Peace Camp website. Let's see if I can actually give you the actual address. It is, since some folks are already online, it's actually peacecamp2010.blogspot.com, peacecamp2010.blogspot.com. That has a lot of stories. Also, there's some good stuff recently on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, indiebay, I-N-D-Y-B-A-Y, .org/Santa Cruz. So, I'm going to be talking today about a number of things, kind of following the travails and tribulations of the folks at the Peace Camp as they have their property, signs, tables, and sleep, not to mention liberty, stolen from them by the police, and then get smeared in the papers as, you know, sort of business as usual. So, you know, I'm trying to, of course, set some of the record straight and encourage folks who are advocates of civil rights for poor people who don't want to believe the bullshit and who are actually looking for the truth in the situation to be able to get some access to that. And also, of course, it's an opportunity for people, pro and con, to phone in their thoughts, 427-3772, and their experiences. And I know we're probably not likely to get too many calls today because we are streaming, we are not broadcasting, but who knows? You know, never can tell. And I think, well, you have that option, and I hope that those of you who are listening and who have some thoughts do call in with them. There was an article in yesterday's Santa Cruz Weekly by the writer Curtis Cartier, and it was called, well, it was headlined, Improbable Cause, Why Would a Lawyer Try to Get Himself Arrested? And there's one version of it in the paper itself, which is a printed weekly you can distribute it free throughout the city, Santa Cruz Weekly. And the other is online at the Santa Cruz Weekly website. I went to online to actually make a comment myself on the article. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because it's available. Hopefully it'll be available online. I don't know if they're actually allowing my comment to go online. I'm hoping they do, but we'll see if that's actually happening. I'm refreshing the website now to see if it's actually up. It is not. But the article, of course, is an attack on attorney Ed Frye, kind of disguised as a sort of amused, problematic, sly sort of, gee, why would an attorney try to get himself arrested? And yet nowhere in here, other than sort of inferentially and in passing, is there any discussion of the issues that Frye is really pressing in the sleeping ordinance, which has to do with the fact that in Santa Cruz you have no place to sleep illegally for homeless people after 11 o'clock at night. And that is sort of an open scandal, yet there's a law that criminalizes people at night. I mean, that's sort of the beginning of this discussion. It isn't even really mentioned in his article. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, this is Christopher Doyen over here at Unbroken Chain Internet Radio, and you're on my station. How about that?
Oh, well, be that way, Christopher Doyen.
How are you doing? And I just wanted to let you know that you're streaming perfectly. You may not have an antenna, but you're streaming well across the net, and we're, as promised, relaying your show on my new station. And I had an announcement to make about Peace Camp 2010.
Please, go for it.
Later this evening at about 7:30, we're going to actually have to preempt your show, even though it's the first time we've ever aired it. We're going to preempt it at 7:30 because we're going to bring you a special thing. It was actually sent to me by Coral, and I'll read you what she sent here in the email box this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to stream tonight a presentation of the Waté drum group singing blessing songs from the Lakota tradition, the Mandan, Apache, and Blackfoot Indian tribes. So that ought to be pretty interesting, and we're going to be down there live streaming that at Unbroken Chain Internet Radio. And if anybody's interested, they can go over to the website. It's ucir.limeweb, that's lime like the fruit, webs.com. And we'll have that streaming live at 7:30. And thanks for letting us carry your show, Robert. I appreciate it. It's a great addition to my station, as well as an incredible asset to Free Radio Santa Cruz. So,
let me get that again. ucir.limeweb.com?
LimeWeb, as in plural. You got it right, but just add an F. LimeWeb.com.
I see.
I know it's kind of a strange URL, but I'm actually a homeless guy, and I'm doing an entire radio station out of my backpack. So you got to take free when you can get it, and that's a freebie. So.
Well, I know about your kind, Chris, because I know you've been on the show a number of times, and you've actually been jailed for trying to sleep and to establish a safe sleeping spot for people at Peace Camp 2010 when it was at the county building and again at the city hall, as I remember.
I was indeed. I was never hauled away in chains from city hall. I was hauled away in chains twice at the courthouse phase of Peace Camp 2010. I am, of course, a huge supporter. I think, though, I think what some of us have chosen to do at this point, though, is we've got a number of cases pending because I also have two tickets as well, two different separate tickets from that situation. So I got a number of charges on me, and I think I'm going to wait a while before I sleep out there anymore and see how these charges pan out.
What do you think of the claim that people are not being harassed elsewhere in the city? So
that's not true. That's not true at all. I sat. I had an interesting experience this morning where I had gone out. Robert, that I like to sleep on the river bottom, the San Lorenzo River bottom. I really love it out there. To be honest with you, I enjoy sleeping out there. I wish it were legal. But last night I had an interesting experience. The tide has been playing havoc with the river, and I went out in the river and I saw this beautiful peninsula. And I said, I'm going to go on that peninsula and I'm going to sleep. Well, the tide came in, and my peninsula in the morning turned out to be an island. And so it was an interesting experience since I was literally in the middle of the San Lorenzo River when I woke up. And they had police officers on both sides of the levee this morning that were traveling in tandem up the side, up either side of the river, ticketing just as fast as they could ride them. They had to have ticketed a dozen people or more just within my own eyesight. And, of course, they all looked out at me, and they're not going to get their feet wet by, wading across, 15 feet of 2-foot deep water. So I was safe, and I just got to sit there and laugh at them and watch them, ticket all my buddies. And then I had to wade out of there. So I ended up getting wet anyway. My feet are just drying off now. What an interesting story, huh?
It also tends to show, if your figures and your estimate is accurate, that there is a continued sighting, in spite of Mayor Mike Rutkins assuring the public and assuring us on the sidewalk last Friday when he spoke to us that there are only two tickets issued a day on an average to each, under the sleeping ban law, which is the municipal code 6.36010A, no sleeping after 11 o'clock at night. You're suggesting that at least last night that didn't seem to be true.
No, it's never true. It's a crock of shit on a bunch of different levels. Number one, I don't believe the number. I just don't believe it. I think, it doesn't take into account that there's days when they just take completely off, and then there's days like today where they go out and write dozens and dozens of tickets. And I just don't think that averages out to one or two or whatever he's saying per day. And the other thing that it doesn't take into account is the number of people who are simply rousted And I don't believe that that's being even logged in. I mean, there's a lot of times when the cops don't even get out of their car. They'll just drive up to you, you know, put a bright light on you, wail the siren once, and you get up and you go, naturally. You know what I mean? You don't, and so I just don't, you know, the numbers are horseshit. This law is used to harass sleeping homeless people wherever they are found, every night of the week, and in numbers far greater than Mayor Rockin will admit. And all he's going to do, and I offer this to the mayor, I offer this to any of the city council, I've offered this already to any journalist who wants to take me up on it, but I'll embed you, man. I'll take you down on the river bottom. We'll take you into some of the biggest river bottom camps there are, and you can meet the people, and you can see for yourself the harassment. I mean, you know, anybody with eyes can see this. And if Mayor Rockin would like to grab his sleeping bag and his backpack, I'll guarantee his safety. I will personally, on the air, guarantee his safety. And I'll embed him for a night as a homeless person, man. We'll dress him up so nobody will know who he is, and he can see for his own self how the police are using this law against him. I think that's his problem, is that all he's seeing is from the top down, he's hearing what the cops are telling him. And buying into that, and what he needs to see and what people need to see and understand is from the bottom up what this is like, from what it's like to be a street person. And that's what I've always tried to bring to your show whenever I've been a guest host over there, and that's what I'm going to try to bring to some of the work I'm doing on my station now, is to try to get people to see what this is like, you know, from the bottom up.
Now, have you read the story that I was talking about right before you came on the air in the Santa Cruz Weekly by Curtis Cartier, Improbable Cause?
I'm in trepidation of that article. I've got three copies of it now that were given to me by three different people this morning, all coming up and saying I should really read this, and every single one of them seemed to indicate that it was not a good thing, and that I might be displeased with it. So I've been putting off all day, to be honest with you. I'm in a good mood, and I didn't want to be in a bad mood.
I would say don't bum yourself out with this article. If you had read it, I wanted to get your reactions, but don't worry about it. It's another piece of Sentinel-style journalism, which is unfortunate.
That's what I figured, and so like I said, I figured about the time. What I'll do is I'll read it about 10 minutes before I go to sleep, and that way it won't ruin my day. It won't be much of a
It'll just ruin your sleep, perhaps.
Maybe, but I usually smoke pretty heavy just before I pass out.
Now, what is on your station, what kind of stuff do you broadcast at ucir.limewebs.com?
Well, we've got a great lineup. I mean, considering, now, first of all, I just want to say Unbroken Chain Internet Radio actually went on the air unofficially in 1998. I started it as a hobby. I was running an antique store in North Carolina. It went on the air officially in 1999. And it only went off the air about a year ago, and that was because I ran into some problems. I lost my equipment and whatnot. I think our lineup is great, man, considering that I've just put it back on the air. But we've got, of course, your show twice a week. We're going to stream it in real time live. We've got our weekday morning show, which I hope to ask you to be a guest on as soon as you can possibly do it.
Sure.
It's going to be a weekday morning show called Coffee House Live. And we're basically just going to choose a coffee house somewhere here in Santa Cruz and sit around and have coffee for a couple hours. It airs Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And you're welcome to be a guest anytime. All you got to do is come by and grab yourself a cup of Joe. And we'll shoot the shit, and that's what that show's about. We got Tangerine Dream Team. That's Coral Reef's show. That'll be streamed from you guys over at Free Radio Santa Cruz. And, of course, we're going to do the ever-present Democracy Now! We're going to do that 5 days a week from 8 until 9 p.m., and that's pre-recorded. And then once a week, we're going to air Between the Lines, which is just an absolutely incredible show. I wish it were longer, but that'll air Saturday, 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And that's our lineup so far. The rest of the time, we do general programming, lots and lots of music. And what I try to do then is I try to get jiggy with the location, because I'm able to broadcast from virtually anywhere in the world. When I'm doing GP, I'm playing music, but I'm trying to get into trouble by getting into unique situations, like out on the streets or down at peace camp or somewhere else like that.
Have you
but
been having
a lot of Grateful Dead and a lot of old-time music, but some new stuff, too. I mean, I'm a big Kid Rock fan, so...
Have you had any problems with police or authorities around the station, or...?
I am technically a pirate radio station, and the reason for that is what's known as the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is an act that they brought in about halfway through my internet radio career, which is an attempt basically to shut the entire industry down. And it makes everything illegal. I mean, for instance, as you know, and I'm sure, Robert, you know, that I play a lot of Grateful Dead, and we play entire shows. We play entire sets of Grateful Dead, live sets. And that's what we're about, and that's what people want to hear. But if you play more than three songs from any given artist, you're violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, an act that was forced down America's throat by the United Nations, who passed the Digital Millennium Copyright Accord. And then America had to pass this legislation in order to come into compliance with that United Nations Accord. But it basically has put a huge burden on internet radio stations. We either have to pay an enormous fee, or we have to just go pirate like I do and broadcast whatever the fuck I please and just hope I don't get caught. I've had letters from lawyers so far, occasionally, cease and desist letters. I've had an ongoing debate with the Grateful Dead, which goes my way sometimes and goes their way sometimes. So there are legal problems. We may not have the same legal issues that Free Radio Santa Cruz has, but there are problems with broadcasting exactly what you please over the internet. So,
I also want to invite you, and we're listening to Curb Hugger Chris, who is again has his own radio station that he is broadcasting from. It sounds like a real curbside station at ucir.limewebs.com, Unbroken Chain Internet Radio. You're welcome to broadcast old Bathrop Spears broadside shows, too. There are plenty of them in the archives in case you
get
bored.
Well, on that note, we have downloaded one of them, and we took you up on that offer this morning. Our first one that we're going to do, and the schedule yet to be announced, is going to be the ever-famous debate between Mayor Rock and Ed Fry. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing now is I'm doctoring that up a little bit. I'm going to trim it up and divide it in half so that I can do my commercial breaks in between. And then we're going to air that really soon. I don't know exactly when, but one way to find out when that stuff happens is to go over to the station site and either sign up for the email list or sign up for the Twitter or one of those other different options to keep in touch, because we're going to air that one. That one's going to be a big one. I think we're going to continue to air that over and over again during the duration of Peace Camp. And I was looking at the archive. It's really quite extensive. I think we'll go ahead and link it to your station, your show page over at my site, because I think that archive is really a treasure trove. I was listening to a bunch of different shows today, trying to actually find which one was the mayor's. I got to listen to about four different shows before I hit the right one.
Our descriptions are lagging, and I apologize to you and the listeners for that.
Well, that's okay, because it seems to me like I said, I downloaded four shows before I found the right one, and every one of them was so entrancing that I really had to sort of sit there and listen to the whole thing before I could move on. So it's great stuff. I mean, Robert, you don't give yourself enough credit. You've been broadcasting for a long time, and you're really, really good at it. You're a wonderful personality in this community, despite all your detractors, and you have many. Of course, if you don't have enemies in this town, you're not doing your job right anyway, and that's just the way that is. You're a huge asset to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I really, again, I can't thank you enough. We're honored to be able to carry your show. I was wondering what you thought of the picture I chose for you on my site. I was wondering if you had a...
I'm going to have to go look at that, because I got to admit, I have not been to your site. I have been running around and doing other things. I apologize, Chris, but I will definitely look
in
on your site.
For all the listeners who might go over and check it out, it's a picture of Robert addressing the city council, and it's very recent, and it's one that I just, I love. I found it interesting, Robert, that when I needed a picture of you, I went over to Google, and I clicked on the images button, and then I typed in your name, and I got about 4,000 hits of images of you on the World Wide Web.
So photogenic.
Utterly amazing. That's utterly amazing, and I was able to take my pick of which picture I wanted.
Well, I think we also, I know we're doing mutual admiration here, but we should really acknowledge, and listeners should know, that Curb Hugger Chris exhausted himself with several months of staying up all night, taking busts, holding together a protest, working on putting that up into the internet, creating the website, and then a whole variety of activities, which, you know, it's hard to say where they're going to lead, because, you know, it's a really difficult thing for a Peace Camp 2010 to exist where poor people have no resources, where everybody's overtaxed, has no sleep, and, you know, are all going to be going to court. So, I mean, it's a hard, hard struggle, but I
think it was a wonderful struggle. I think it is, and it was a wonderful struggle. I wish that I could have given more. I want to be in the interest of accuracy, and I know that you're a big fan of truth and accuracy. I was there for 40 days. I gave 40 days of my life to Peace Camp 2010. So it wasn't several months. It was 40 days, but it was 40, as you say, very long days.
And nights.
There were weeks where I got no sleep.
Days and nights, both. And, and you're still following up. You're continuing to focus on the issues as well as other local issues around town. If what you're telling me is accurate, provide access every morning to people whose voices are unheard. I mean, I go around with a tape recorder, and I put into my recorder what pleases me. It sounds like, though, you have a pretty, you know, even a more open system, and I wish you luck with that. I'm going to get now onto some free radio, some tapes from Peace Camp.
I appreciate you letting me talk about the station.
Anytime, Chris.
We appreciate having your wonderful show to be able to stream,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go ahead and link that archive to the station site. I would encourage everybody to tune in. Later this evening, we will be streaming live from Peace Camp at 7:30. The Wate Indian group, drumming group, is going to perform some very sacred Indian Native American music down there, and I just think it should be wonderful. So if you're local, you can come on down, of course, and just witness this in person. That would be fantastic. Or you could tune it in on your computer over at my site. Thanks a lot, Robert, and have a great show, man. I'll be listening there.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And phone lines are open, 427-3772, in case you're listening on the stream. Hopefully getting back on the air soon. And what I'm going to do now is pick up from where I left off on Sunday. The show airs on Sunday morning as well as Thursday evening at 9:30 in the morning, though sometimes, in fact, usually a bit earlier. I concluded last time by playing some tapes from last Saturday, and I'm going to pick up from that and see how far we can get, because the voices of homeless people and the voices of their persecutors and detractors and those who, you know, think they're actually trying to be helpful but aren't, as well as interested spectators, are here on these tapes, and hopefully we can pass on some of that now. And you too can call in and talk about this, 427-3772. And you can come down to Peace Camp 2010, which is located in front of City Hall, right across from the main library on Center Street between Locust and Church, I believe it is. So let's hear some stuff beginning from last Saturday night. We're turning right in right now to a moment after one of the meetings that are happening every night now at Peace Camp 2010 at 8:15, and the public is invited to attend those meetings, where people are trying to decide their strategy, talking about the events of the day, expressing their concerns, telling their experiences with police, and trying to plan on how to deal with seized property, stolen signs, tables that have been grabbed and hauled away by the cops, and the upcoming court cases, and also how best to publicize the ongoing criminalization of poor people in Santa Cruz in a way that actually gets it out more effectively. That happens 8:15 every evening. It'll be happening again tonight, perhaps in the middle of the drumming by the Wate Indian group, which is going to begin at 7:30, as you just heard from Chris, or perhaps off to the side, or perhaps, who knows, I'm not sure what's going to happen tonight with that, but that's been happening every night. Anyway, what we're going to listen to right now is Ed Fry and me talking about the no trespassing signs that have suddenly appeared either on Saturday the 21st or on Friday the 20th last week, which essentially closed off City Hall at night, saying you couldn't be there at all. It was illegal to be there at night. It was a closed area. And this is a power that was given to Danette Shoemaker, the head of Parks and Rec, not just at the City Hall property, but all over the city, up and down Pacific Avenue, and any of the parks. There's actually a whole range of places where this actually can happen, and it's really, to me, very ominous, and I expressed concerns when this law was passed. And I'm actually going to see if I think it's online. I actually have the ordinance, which I put up online. Let's see if it's there, because I think it needs to be. We have to having a little online problem. So while I'm doing, let's hear Ed Fry talking about the new signs that were posted, and this is an attempt to make it illegal for homeless people to even peacefully protest without even sleeping. Let's say they stay awake all night, as they're supposed to do under the law. Even that has become illegal at City Hall.
the witching hour of 10 o'clock, which is the new no trespassing hour. I'm going to be interviewing Ed Fry. Ed, you're munching a bit of bread here and looking over this this map of the city, but you're not supposed to be looking over this map of the city this time of the night.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to define courtyard. It says City Hall courtyard hours, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. No trespassing after hours. So
you're not sure where the courtyard starts?
Over here, here's the diagram, the map.
You're looking at the map of the courtyard.
You are here, et cetera, et cetera. Shows all right. The room 102, 101.
Shows all these rooms.
Room 89, a stair.
Where is the courtyard?
Restrooms, elevator, stairs, no courtyard.
No definition of the courtyard.
That's right.
Interesting.
Right there is the courtyard. You're kind of implying that.
But where is the courtyard? Is that maybe it's beyond that area.
Yeah, this is part of the like sidewalk, the public domain. That's more of the, these are the hours domain.
They're going to have to change their sign.
Those are the posted hours.
We're hearing Ocean speculate. That's the other voice, a fellow named Ocean, speculating where it might be. But in fact, there's nothing written yet. And I have put in a Public Records Act request to Parks and Rec Zarina Danette Shoemaker to find out exactly where that area is, what the process was of establishing it. And I got back a brief response from Tina Scholl, who's sort of the, now she's the assistant city manager. She was the police go-to girl. And I'm afraid maybe that sounds a little sexist. I wish I could find a sex-neutral term to describe someone who is a flunky or a cover-up artist for the police department, because that is my impression. Sorry, Tina, much as nice as a person you may be in private life, that's the impression that I get as to what you do professionally. She's sort of a person who essentially misdirected and it helped to defang the Measure K Commission as a staff member, encouraging the commission not to seek police records, helping to essentially shut down oral communications at the Measure K Commission hearings, along with the chair of that board. A whole bunch of... I've had various experiences with Tina, which have led me to be somewhat critical of her, what she does. But in any case, she sent back a message which said that she would agree to talk with me about what the issues were around the Parks and Rec's decision to close down City Hall. And I said, that's fine, as long as it can be recorded publicly and played on the air. I don't want to have any private conversations about this. And so far, I haven't heard back from her, so we'll see how that goes.
So you can argue, oh, I had an impression, but the posted hours was in reference to this, too.
Well, we're talking with Sasha, who's from originally from where in Russia?
Moscow region.
And when did you come to the U.S.?
In 1998.
And what kind of work do you do here, Sasha?
I'm a computer scientist.
And are you a longtime resident of Santa Cruz, the last 12 years?
I'm not a Santa Cruz resident. I'm San Jose resident. I come here...
And we're going to hold off on this because actually Sasha, we let him, we played this tape at the last show, so I'm going to speed ahead here so we can actually get to something that's a little newer. We're actually close to that point. So let's see if we can actually reach that point. And it's what we call on-air editing. Bear with me, folks, and hopefully we'll... Here we go. I think we found the right place, and let's pick it up from here again. We're talking Saturday evening at Peace Camp 2010, around 10 or 10:30 after the so-called closing hours for the courtyard, which is not clear whether that's the entire red brick area throughout the City Hall complex, whether it's the area beyond the light fixtures, which is sort of the entranceway to the courtyard. It's not clear what, and there's no designation, so in a way, it's not posted very well, and that would be that led Ed Fry to decide he could just sleep there, and he did, and has, on a number of nights, essentially, courageously, not just challenging the sleeping ban, but challenging the attempt to shut down political protest, attack on the First Amendment, and also the attempt to shut down public space. All these issues are involved, all of them ignored by people like Curtis Cartier, who writes a puff piece for the Sentinel, Santa Cruz Weekly, that simply attacks Ed Fry, characterizes him as a weirdo, quotes people to suggesting that he's puts his own political agenda over his client's legal needs. He's a willful disobedient, which is true, but again, when that's stated without really framing the issue clearly as to why one has to be willfully disobedient here to get anywhere, it makes it appear that he is, you know, some kind of a kook, some kind of a nut. And in a sense, we're all kind of nuts trying to do this because we're all swimming against the tide. They said the same thing, of course, about suffragettes and abolitionists and other people who are struggling to assert basic rights, which were generally denied, and people who wanted to assert them were considered to be laughable or making futile efforts or crazy. You know, I think it's important to look back historically and see those parallels. So this, again, as I said, was really the first night. I think there was a night before, too, when the signs were up, but this is the first night when the police reportedly had threatened people. If we find you on the bricks, we won't ticket you for sleeping. We'll ticket you for trespass, as though that would make a lot of difference. And it did, though. It did drive a lot of people off that area. Although some, such as the pregnant Diane, who, by the way, has had her baby, for those who are interested, she had her baby this morning. And I don't know what the circumstances are. I don't hear that there were any negative results, so I'm hoping that, and I'm assuming that that went well. Did sleep on the bricks in the sense that the same area in front of City Hall where people have been sleeping, challenging the sleeping ban, and now they're also have to challenge the no trespassing law if the city chooses to enforce it. So far as I know, they have not chosen to enforce it against the protesters, but they have reportedly given out one ticket to a person off to the side who wasn't a formal part of the protest. If that person wants to come forward, we maybe can try to support him and at least advise him as to what to do with that citation, and Ed Fry may be able to provide some useful help, or others of us who have had experience with this kind of crap can give him some thoughts.
We have a return guest, a visitor, host, individuals. You were here last night, sir?
I was here this morning at 5 a.m. I had a hard time.
And this, again, is something of a repeat. He recognizes his voice as a caller from our new radio station in town, Kerbugger Chris. But he's this comes over very quickly, and we're going to then get into some new material. So hang in there, folks.
Sleeping. Somehow at Peace Camp 2010, I got infected with fleas. And these fleas eat me alive. And I couldn't sleep last night. So I got up and I came over.
Don't hug me, please.
No, I came over here to use the computer because they got the Wi-Fi. I arrived here about 5 a.m. with a coffee in hand and set my computer up. Just as I was setting up, the cops rolled in.
Now, where were people sleeping at that time?
All over here. Well, there was a couple. No, Gary was over there. I think Gary got a ticket, actually.
There were two people here on the library side and on the City Hall side.
There's two over there and three over here that got tickets, to my knowledge. That's about what I saw, about five tickets given out. And this one black girl, she was right over here on the bench over there where Vamp is now. And she come up out of the bag. She was nasty, pissed. And she called him a white honky piece of trash, told him he was a racist son of a bitch, and just was just going off on him. And, of course, you know, he was a sergeant. He was just like, yeah, ID, please.
Sergeant Connolly?
It may have been fat, ugly dude. I never seen him before, ever. But fat,
don't know.
Pig of a dude, young. I haven't seen him before, ever. It wasn't any of the regulars that I know.
He took it passively.
He took it passively, yeah. Uh-huh. There was three of them, and then they fanned out. They got Gary. Gary was had fallen asleep over there despite the light.
6.36010A citations?
You'd have to ask Gary, but I think what they're doing is they're sleeping over here, and it's lodging if it's over there. That's what Gary told me.
Interesting.
You'd have to verify
Gary.
They're
just the sacred City Hall grounds are being cleared of the riffraff, and now the library is becoming infested with the poor.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess I don't know. I think this is the end for Peace Camp 2010. To be honest with you, the lights, the cops. I just don't see how it's going to last much longer.
Meeting of about 15 people tonight, and we sat around for an hour and a half up there, and every evening there's going to be a meeting at 8:15 of people gathering so there is a certain focus now.
There's Crow. I gotta make sure to go say I don't.
Yeah, he's actually sleeping right around the corner in his
vehicle.
Yes.
And they aren't fucking with the vehicular residents yet?
I haven't seen that happen. I was sleeping here two nights ago, and they didn't fuck with me, but they weren't here when I was here, or I didn't notice them if they were.
There's some more people calling in, too.
So we'll see what we will see. I think they're just sort of touristing it up, but we'll see. Well, we've been talking with...
Kerbugger Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Well, here we are. It's 11:20. I'm standing on the red brick area in front of the two light poles that lead into the City Hall courtyard, although apparently some people believe that we are actually in the courtyard even as we speak. Let's get an expert opinion from a nearby security guard who's drinking some, is it coffee or cocoa?
I believe it's cocoa.
Cocoa, there you are. Is this, did you allow protesters to give you this cocoa? I don't know if they might have got...
We're going to try to change the tape machine because I've gotten some complaints that this is not going out well. Let's see if this is a better transmission. Hang on.
Possibly to impair your judgment.
I hope not.
I would hope not as well. Of course, the kind of 7-Eleven may do it without
Sounds
any
bad.
Extra doctoring. You never can tell. So there are security guards patrolling the area. We have Kerbecker Chris has returned to visit. And, of course, Ed Fry is in his usual trench coat and cowboy hat. And then lying next to a sleep is not a crime sign, which is posted on a bicycle. With two large bongo drums in the area, is Frank Lopez, wrapped in an American flag blanket. And on the sidewalk, trying to be free of the, follow the law and not violate the new trespass posting sign, if it does apply to all the red brick area, is Colette Connolly, who has left out her cane, her drink, her bag of pirate booty chips, her Mountain Dew, her lyrics to Have You Been to Jail for Justice, and her California ID card, as well as a small shopping, handheld shopping cart area, or kind of a stroller shopping cart, and a black purse. All of this next to the gentle hum of the generator, which is fueling the Krieg lights. Meanwhile, over to the side, I believe we have Gary Johnson sleeping on the sidewalk.
For those who don't know, just tuned in, there are these very, very bright searchlights, almost like you'd find in some kind of a prison camp, four of them at a height of, I don't know, 12 to 20 feet high, hard for me to judge height, set up and powered by this noisy, either diesel or gasoline fuel generator to illuminate the area. It seems quite obvious it's there to harass the protesters. If you ask Rotkin or the police, I think you're getting that there's some sort of security issue, although they've given us no stats about any crimes. They did have this bogus child molester scare they used with Mark Greer, the guy who, when he was 14, had an affair with a 13- or 12-year-old that went on for some time, a couple years, I think. And, you know, I happen to think that consensual activity between young people is really their business, although it may be unwise, it's still their business. And the idea that you're going to criminalize people for life for this, and they didn't really, because he doesn't appear on Megan's list, and this was a big hysterical attempt to quickly smear the protest with people who are eager to think the worst of protesters. But again, Klieg lights every night, glaring and the noise blaring from the generator at the homeless folks who are trying to sleep there. And plus you add to that a no trespassing law, seizure of property, all kinds of measures directed to make a meaningful political protest impossible. Let's hear more from Saturday night, Sunday morning at Peace Camp 2010 in front of City Hall.
Next to a... kind of next to the mailbox area, which is on the red bricks, but Gary is not. On the other side of the street, there's a cluster of people, several in sleeping bags, the very, very pregnant Diane, another individual who's in a sleeping bag. I have no idea who he or she is. We've got Jeff, and Becky is visiting, Lee is visiting, Puck is here, we have the new Elisa, and we have Robert Facer, and we have two guests here. What are your names?
I'm not a guest. I was here yesterday.
We have actually two participants. Excuse me. What participant sign in for?
Angel.
And?
Dale Tickenmeyer.
And are you intend to stay the night and face the gendarmes?
Hell no.
You're ready to go have sex.
Well, that's not a bad idea, you know. But remember, save sex.
A lot better than doing is getting a ticket. It's a lot better than getting a ticket, I tell you.
It's getting a ticket is getting a ticket.
Happy Mardi Gras, New Orleans. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, you two.
Happy Mardi Gras.
All right, well, here we are at the sleepy-eyed remains of the protest across the street from the morning the protest. We have a security guard nodding at us from the library side, the City Hall side of the street. But here we are on the library side of the street talking with...
Sarah Knapp. And Sarah, you spent the night illegally sleeping in Santa Cruz?
Of course, every night.
I see. So you're just a fucking inveterate criminal here, I understand. But you say that there was some police activity, or was some police activity last night?
Yeah, I believe it was around 5 a.m. They stopped to give tickets. One man ran. He was caught later.
Ocean.
He got caught later. I don't know why he ran or his charges.
Maybe he needed a little exercise.
Maybe. Then one of
the Klieg lights were just too much for him.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe the sight of police officers engaging in obscene arrests was just...
I believe. I'm not exactly sure, but I believe Ed got a ticket.
Ed Fry, the attorney.
Yes.
Was he getting a ticket for sleeping in the new forbidden zone, or was he getting a ticket for sleeping, period?
I believe the forbidden zone. Frank got a ticket.
Frank Lopez, who was also sleeping.
Actually, this is all happening on Sunday morning, I believe. But Ed Fry didn't get a ticket for trespass. Those there have been, as far as I know, and please correct me if anybody's listening and knows differently, no citations by any Peace Camp 20 people for that under that trespass law. Perhaps because it's so ill defined. Who knows for what other reasons? Maybe because it was done without consultation that I'm aware of with the Parks and Rec Commission, which is required under the ordinance which allows the Parks and Rec Czarina, Dennett Shoemaker, to close down any areas that she's supposed to consult with the Parks and Rec. That was a weakening of the previous ordinance, which said that it had to be passed through the Parks and Recreation Commission, any closing of the public space, where the public had to be advised and have an opportunity to comment on that, and then the Parks and Rec would vote on it and either authorize it or not. And that even could be appealed to City Council. And all that happened in a very formal process way back in 1992, when the Parks and Rec and the City Council attempted to close down, and eventually did close down, set closing hours on the town clock, which is a, quote, park now. And the town clock is closes at 1 o'clock. I think it's from 1 to 6 or 1 to 8, something like that, as a consequence of this. But it took many months to do it. Well, 2 or 3 months anyway, and it was appealed and so forth, and it was a process where the public got to weigh in. Now, of course, it just happens with a snap of the fingers behind the scenes. Police state stuff really quick. Suddenly you're trespassing in areas that had previously been public, just like the drum circle was whisked away from the farmer's market and then whisked away from the parking lots and then suddenly whisked away from the area it found in the triangular area along the levee where people had gathered. It's a series of backdoor, backstage, backroom deals where people in power do not have to be accountable or transparent in what they do. And it's really, I think, the antithesis of any kind of democratic or accountable process. And as I said, I put in a Public Records Act request to try to get some information, but I've already been told in one email that they have zero records as to the whole process of declaring City Hall suddenly a closed area, which I really find very hard to believe. I can't believe there wasn't some written memos exchanged around this issue. And if they're avoiding written memos by talking about it secretly, I think that needs to be exposed too. But in order to do that, of course, we need more legal resources. And I, at the present time, more imagination than I have, but hey. Anyway, here's more from Sunday morning. August 22nd, I think we're talking about, or is it the 23rd? Anyway, it's last Sunday morning.
Next one.
Yeah, and Colette was sleeping on the sidewalk, and she got one for refusing to sign the ticket.
What ticket did they want to give her that she refused to sign?
I'm not exactly sure. Probably sleeping.
Colette is a 72-year-old woman who was taken to jail on Sunday morning.
We're left alone. Is this because of some special payoff deal with the cops, Sarah?
No, everybody woke me up, but I was sitting up.
Is everybody on this side of the street? How many would you estimate were sleeping who then woke up?
The only people sleeping on this side was me and the other pregnant lady. And we had, like, four guys awake.
And the speaker is pregnant herself. This is the woman who is the girlfriend of the guy accused of being a child molester. And she vigorously denies this, has lived with him for some time. She says that CPS has been to their house. Had there been any such concerns, he would have been, you know, charged because he was around children and they knew who he was. He simply registers as a sex offender in the most minor way. And he failed to register one day late, she said. Hence, he suddenly became an unregistered sex offender, which allowed Deputy Chief Vogel to rant and rave and pontificate and the Sentinel to scream its child molester story.
Watching for everybody.
Well, fine. Glad to hear it. Always pleasant news this time of the morning. And who is this? Oh, this is your notorious pooch here. Again.
He slept through it. That's Malenko. He slept through it all. He just woke up, actually.
I brought along some flyers for you guys. You want to distribute them today?
Oh, I will. If
all right. I'll pass them on. And we've been talking with?
Sarah Knapp.
Thanks, sir. It is, of course, August 22nd, Sunday morning. And it's about 8:45. Look at this. Someone is... I'm here with Ocean after the nightly meeting, and we're out. We're in front of Peace Camp 2010. And Ocean, you've got some notes from last night when you were accosted by the police.
Roused is one term.
Yeah.
My actual name is Sean Barrett in the proceeding. I do go by Ocean because I believe that is who I am.
Okay.
So if you were to ask me my name, I might be confused and not know how to answer you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this happened last night when they asked me my name.
You were sleeping across the street or here? Or were you sleeping?
Yeah. I'm not going to admit guilt to anything because I think that's what I would have done if I would have signed a ticket.
Sleeping is a human right, I've got to say that.
Oh, but I'm guilty sometimes of sleeping at night, I would say.
Oh, come. You don't want to. We know the homeless is supposed to stay awake all night.
Yes, but I'm a man, a human.
Oh.
Of course, mankind, and I do have to sleep at sometimes, and I've
chosen
that.
Where's your wallet? Where's your bank account? Come on, man.
I have a bank account, and my wallet has been stolen, and I've had to, like, deal with having no IDs.
In that case, you may or may not have been asleep. And then what happened?
Well, for example, I may or may not agree to my name or know what to call me.
What happened when these police officers came up?
Well, they woke me up. Let's say I was sleeping in a peaceful way.
Well,
not bothering anyone. Well, according to the police report, it was 4:32.
Okay.
That's not what I was charged with originally. It was for resisting arrest.
And why did that? Tell me, describe the events as if you wish, as to how they transpired, kind of blow by blow, so to speak.
All right, well, here's my account, if you just bear with me here. At approximately 4:32 in the morning, Sean Barrett, my birth name, who I'm going to use for representing myself in this, was contacted by Santa Cruz Police Department. And I had an agreement with the private security car security officer that's guarding the city hall to wake me up at 4:40. Because I didn't want to be cited when the police came. I was going to protest as much as I could without having to endanger my own livelihood, my own sleeping patterns, and whatnot. So if I was tired, I'd sleep. Human right. Human basic need, necessity. Well, upon this, I was awoken. And I had prepared for such a moment, but I had no idea that this moment would come 8 minutes before I had planned.
Came
that
a little
it
quickly.
Come.
A little too quickly.
I had anticipated this, but I didn't expectly plan for it necessarily because I decided... Be ready, but not instigate, not start. Just be prepared that this is the time they come, 5:30, and if you're here, these are the ramifications for if you're here.
Go ahead.
And so I took a rest at a peace camp, thinking it was a peaceful place and no one would bother me with all the 4,000 watts of metal highlight illuminating me so that I wouldn't be able to sleep, provided courtesy of this.
Did you get a clue that possibly the police had set up these lights to get you to get the fuck away from the campsite? Or
what I thought that they were there for was so that I'd be protected under the law.
Oh, you naive boy, you.
Well, I thought that if you were poor in this country, that's what we were here for, was to have equity under the law.
Oh, you very naive boy, you.
Well, it's not me. It's the Statue of Liberty that's the naive one. It says to bring us all to
He's
the
pretty
country.
Naive, too.
So I come here out of my mom. And
French trollop, actually.
That's actually, it's actually where I came from. It's right here.
Let's get back to the incident. So anyway, you were awakened by two gendarmes, two armed and uniformed officers?
No, I was just awoken what I thought was a security guard, and I was in a delirium from not sleeping properly and my sleep cycles being disturbed so many times in such a short period of time. But I woke up in a dazed confusion, thinking that I was seeing a security guard and realizing that I was actually witnessing an officer of the law standing before me.
Yeah.
At which point I asked him, did you wake me up? Because I didn't expect them there to at least 30 minutes. At this point,
Good night, friend.
It was very strange because he asked me my name and I was in a dazed, confused look stage. I didn't respond with words. I responded with confusion.
Frank, are you taking off? Frank, are you leaving? All right, man. Have a good night.
Peace. Go camp.
And Frank last night did get a citation for laying out bedding. He was laying under the Klieg lights, probably somewhat near where you were.
I think his ticket was for using a blanket.
Yes.
Betting, that's what, same thing.
No, betting is actually consistent with like camping, I think.
Well, betting is also a phrase used for the blanket ban.
Which is, I guess, all camping in different aspects of the law. Yeah, or section code or whatever.
But in any case, there you were, and you were dazed and bedazzled, and what happened next?
Well, I expected at least the most an infraction, or possibly if I didn't tell them my name, which I said I might not sometimes choose to say a name. So if someone asked me my name, I'd just be quiet. But I don't feel there is a name for me at the time. So when I was awoken...
Anything wrong, why should you give your name anyway?
Well, I don't have to. That's the point. So I was asked to give my name at this point. And after about 4 or 5 days confused times of repeating this question and looking at him confused and the cycle going on...
You've been taken before by the police.
Yes, and in a delirium state of not even knowing if I should say a word, thinking of my rights and if I should contact a lawyer or if I should speak or how, I couldn't really formulate anything in the form of a name. So he asked me...
You were tongue-tied.
No, I wasn't even tied to anything. I was just literally in a confused state of delirium, and I didn't even believe it was really going on. He asked me repeatedly if I would tell him my name or be arrested.
Name of the cop?
The name of the cop was Duclo. He had arrested me before because I wouldn't tell him my name. I asked him I wanted a lawyer.
Can you spell it for me, Duclo?
Yes, Duke, like D-U-K-E, like the Duke of the land,
yeah.
Or so he would think. And low, like really low, to wake someone up in the middle of the night when they're sleeping.
Interesting. Anyway, so there was Duclo waking you up.
Yes. Officer,
demanding your name. And
Officer Duclo, out of respect, was awaking.
I don't want to respect him at this time, but go ahead.
Well, I don't have disrespect.
I do. Go ahead.
Well, anyways, at this point in time, offered me 2 viable solutions to this dilemma of not being able to think properly. One was to come up with a name and say it. What is your name? So identify with a name or an identity, which I am not sure what to say at that response. So I, like I said, repeatedly said nothing. And upon the idea that if there was an ultimatum to either that or arrest, that I would probably be arrested. And upon being faced with the idea of not being able to sleep, being arrested, or having to say my name and still be cited and deal with problems, it wasn't really a crime in my mind. I thought an infraction at most, that it would be no point in me to do anything other than to just assert my last few rights I had, which were...
What rights did you assert?
Well, my freedom of movement, my freedom to not be arrested.
You got up and began to do a little freedom of movementing?
I did actually a little Tai Chi, I would say. I actually slowly, peacefully walked myself without any harassment or any involvement or any interaction.
And you ended up sort of
in my own shoes.
Got into your shoes, and then you broke into a run at some point?
Well, what happened at this point is I had already had this set aside, that if this did go down, there was one option at this point before I have lost any of my civil rights would be to choose for myself freedom. And I thought this would be a great time for me to exercise this right. So I picked my blanket up or whatever little bit of property I had that I was ready to go part with, and I didn't look at the officer and I didn't make contact because he had contacted me and I wasn't going to try to contact him. So I figured if he wanted me, he'd find me, and I ran, and he wanted me and he found me. And this is where it gets interesting, is I was cited with actually resisting arrest, but the citation occurs on Church Street, not at the City Hall. So I didn't necessarily have done anything wrong at this point. And I don't know if I've done anything wrong at all.
Running away from an officer, I guess, who wants you to stop is considered resisting arrest.
All right. Well, if that is the case, then I wouldn't be guilty of that at the courthouse or at the city hall at all. And my freedom to move wasn't in the wrong. Now, this is where it gets interesting when the officer...
We better sum this up because I got to get rolling on to the next thing I'm going to do. But sum it up if you can.
But when the officer did approach Church Street and see me in a dart for my freedom...
Yeah.
Yell stop, and I still, having the freedom of movement and speech, my civil liberties, decided and rights to use them, and I said, no, I'm not doing this. This is my run for freedom.
So you were tackled in your run for freedom.
Yes, and that is totally lawful on both sides.
And you kind of scraped and hit your head as well, as I understand it.
Oh, yes. And
scraped your knee, hit your head.
Yes, and on the way down, I was detained, basically, and arrested, not formally in the sense of words, But I think we were using telepathy at this morning of the night.
And so you were also, you say a piece of your property was taken as well.
Well, what occurred at this point was a very interesting thing, which could constitute maybe the resisting arrest claim, or maybe it was what I didn't stop. I don't know what I was really...
What property was taken?
I wasn't told I was detained or arrested. What had happened at this point was a struggle for me to just be detained, and I didn't really, I can't say, go down with... non-compliance. They grabbed me and I went straight to the ground, and at this point on the ground they ordered me to turn on my side, at which time I had a reason for to say I wanted to negotiate. At this point I would like a compromise, at this point a standoff. You don't force me to do anything. I will let you do and comply with whatever you say, provided we're fair. And they refused the compromise, so I refused their order, which continued to be to just do something different from what I was doing. I said, let's compromise.
Right, so they wouldn't compromise. They wanted you to turn on your side. Eventually, I suppose they forced you to turn on your side.
It was even better. They just decided to pick me up and frisk me. And at this point, they discovered a marijuana pipe, which I use for sacramental reasons, spiritual reasons, and medicinal reasons as well. And I've been
medical marijuana card.
There's no such thing as a...
You have a recommendation.
Of a need for a card. There is a recommendation under the law, 11362.5. And under this law, I actually would like my pipe back, for the record, because it's a very special thing to me to have a piece of Indian pipestone and have a peace pipe, especially in a peace protest.
Which officer took that pipe?
Duke Lowe.
And he didn't give you a receipt.
Why would he take a receipt?
He didn't give you a receipt. Right?
He didn't give me a receipt for anything.
And he gave you a receipt. So you were taken to jail?
Well, what happened at this point was they took the pipe, and then, of course, I was under arrest or detained, so
you
I...
You were taken... I'm going to skip.
Yes,
you were taken to jail.
I was booked at that point. Tried
How long
to,
were you held in jail?
Well, I was told that I had to say the words or they wouldn't be able to process me, so I spoke only on medical and was able to proceed faster.
How long were you held in jail?
About 5 hours.
And then you were released with two charges, resisting arrest and unlawful lodging.
Oh, that was the second charge that they added after I was already booked. They booked me on resisting arrest and then added later camping under the Penal Code 647E, which states very ambiguously that lodging can occur in a public or a private domain with or without a lodge.
Sure.
So basically any place. So basically sitting on a flagpole or on a bench can be considered lodging if you
very
don't
a useful
move.
Tool for the police department.
Especially if it only consists of one day or one time, like in my case.
What's
now,
the court
this
date?
Has been a 4 or 5 day.
And we're thinking, of course, that there are over 40 misdemeanor lodging tickets that have been issued to protesters in the last month and a half. That means 40 misdemeanor trials if people stand firm, don't agree to deals, insist on getting jury trials. And that's got quite a burden for the courts, considering it's simply a harassment tactic to get people to leave a political protest.
Stay, and I had paid the lodge keeper.
What is your court date?
My court date for this is 10-7, which is October 7th at 8:15. And I would be very interested to find out the legal ramifications as to the verdict.
Well, I hope you demand a jury trial and don't let them get away with this stuff. But again, Ocean, if you forgive me, should I call you Ocean or Senor Barrett? Which would you prefer?
I don't go by name, sir. I will identify
I won't
with
call
Ocean,
you anything then.
So yes, you can go
I'll
by Ocean.
I'll just call you Splashy if you don't watch your step.
I would just say, sir. Out of respect for me.
I rarely use honorifics with anybody, even judges. I have trouble with that. But
Mister, then.
Okay, Mister, you take care, and I'll thank you for your interview, and we'll play that on free radio.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right, man. Well, after that lengthy analysis by Ocean, I notice people have clustered now pretty much on the library side of the street. Paulette is back, but may not be staying. She was arrested last night. Her ID was not returned by police. And Robert Facer is here. Diane, very pregnant, is sleeping under her orange sleeping bag. We have a number of new faces here. Man with a pooch. What is your name, sir?
Me?
Yes. For free radio.
My name is Buddha B.
And who is your pooch?
Buddha B. Rad and Z.
Very nice. Who's your pooch?
My pooch is Zeke. It's Hi. Mowgli.
How do you do?
Ooh.
Nicely sustained.
All our hearts.
Are you?
And all our minds.
Are you staying the night?
All our being.
I see a head shake there. Thank you very much, musician man.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we also have Vance is getting a few snooze. Chris is back here. He's hanging out. And there's Sarah and her notorious pooch, Malinka, if I'm not mistaken.
Hello.
How's it going? Any reports?
Nope, I haven't been here all day.
All right.
Huh?
And here's some weirdo character leaning over his computer. What's your name, sir?
Hey, I'm Chris Doyen.
Chris.
I'm broadcasting live right now from where I sit here at Peace Camp 2010.
Wow. Do you have, what reports have you got that you might want to put on in canned matter since now this is going to be all stale later, but anyway.
Well, maybe, but I'm going to broadcast your show in real time, too. In fact, I might do it from the studio. I think Uncle Dennis will give me access to the Wi-Fi, I'll go ahead and we'll do a kind of weird thing. We'll broadcast live either from the studio or we'll broadcast from here and we'll switch back and forth. Like, you know what I mean? You can pick up my stream on the Winamp at the computer at the, you know what I mean? Like I described in the email to you. And
You probably have to walk me through it at the studio.
Yeah.
But now, if people want to, you know, tune into your radio station, assuming it's still operational by Thursday, how can they do that?
Well, I think it will be operational. What we're looking at now, though, is how many hours a day I can stay live on the air. That'll be a challenge. We'll have to see if it's commercially viable still to do this. I did this for 10 years, and the station just went off the air last year in June. So, and it was, you know, it was commercially viable for a long time. So we'll see where we go with it, and that'll depend on how long I'm able to stay on the air. But they can reach the station at ucir.limewebs.com. And that's ucir.limewebs.com. And from there, they can tune in. Back, I'll show it to you right here.
Thank you, Chris.
You have a
question. Just write us in the second.
Monday morning on, today is August 23rd, and I'm here in the parking lot number 4 talking with
Ulysses.
About 9:15, and we got somebody looking on here, too, your son. And you remember me because you actually had an interview with me 10 years ago. What were the circumstances of that, Ulysses?
I was just passing through Santa Cruz, and that time the situation here in the city was way different than now. And I was working on Pacific, and an officer confiscated my work for working on the sidewalk.
It was jewelry you had?
Yeah, it's my work, my handcraft that I've been doing it for over 12 years now. Mm-hmm. And he decided that it was illegal for me to be there and took my work and confiscated it. But I went to your radio show and we talked about it, and the next day I was in contact with the city attorney, and the city attorney helped me out and they gave me my work back, and
wow.
I left eventually after that.
Have you been back since?
No, I haven't, but as far as I can see, and I'm very glad to be able to say this, Santa Cruz has changed a lot and for the good.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have you been back?
I've been back. I was here for a week, and then I left, and I came back precisely because things here are much better than they were in San
Francisco. In terms of street jewelry, street handicraft? Or?
And even the officers, I believe everybody in the city has a different attitude. I mean, I really am thankful with the city right now.
Interesting, because I have exactly the opposite impression, so I'm pleased to hear if you've been having good experiences. You hadn't been told to move or threatened for sleeping at night?
No, I've been told to move, but they have new rules that allow us to work, and any type of tolerance nowadays, considering that the reality is that artisans and artists don't have spaces to work in,
mm-hmm.
And Santa Cruz is creating spaces, even if they offer just an hour or you can get a permit for 3 hours, that's a positive thing. That's mm-hmm. a really positive thing. And even the officers, when they have lifted me, when they have told me to stand, to get my stuff up, they have been really nice about it. They haven't been...
Think that things have changed?
Yeah, I think they have. I think that they're improving. I'm not saying that they're perfect by any means, but the attitude of the officers is a lot more helpful instead of aggressive. And or maybe it's because I'm with my son. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm older.
Because of the gray in your hair.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm older. But in any case, I see both that the streets are cleaner, not so many drug addicts on them, which is not a good thing for anybody, not for the homeless, not for the people who live in the city. And the attitude of the officers is much better towards the people. I mean, they still have to do their job, but at least not being aggressive about it. They're just doing their job, you know. I came from L.A. the last few months, and the police there are really aggressive, so.
Now, is it true that in L.A. that it's supposed to be legal to sleep on the street at night, if not during the day?
No, that's not true. They're harassing people in the middle of the night in L.A.
What do they use to harass people? Just get the fuck gone, or do they use any laws, or what do they...
Well, they have these laws now that they tried to implement a law in Venice that it was illegal for parking permits for cars. Mm-hmm. And the people from Venice, the residents of Venice, shot it down. They didn't let it happen. It was a very big success for the
home. How long ago was that?
That was just 2 weeks ago, two,
wow.
3 weeks
Congratulations.
Ago. Yeah, it was a big success for the people in Venice.
Mm-hmm. This actually was discussed a bit several months ago. I talked about it. I think I read an email from or had an interview with one of the activists down there in Venice who was really fighting this struggle. She's down in Santa Monica area. There's a kind of a nexus of homeless activists who've been fighting, sort of like we have and Santa Barbara has and San Francisco has, to stop the criminalization of the poor. However... He's actually talking about Venice, which is, it's interesting. He's talking about a victory, and at the same time he's saying police are harassing people for sleeping on the streets. As we talk further, you'll hear him say that he actually there are tent cities down there that people are able to sleep at night. And this was my understanding under the Jones decision, which then became the Jones settlement in Los Angeles, which was a lawsuit undertaken by the ACLU down there. Unlike our ACLU, they are concerned about civil rights for poor and homeless people and willing to take strong public positions on it and actually institute lawsuits.
Here, and like I said, in Santa Cruz, things aren't perfect, but they're a lot better, and I see that even everybody that I've talked to that's on the streets feels that things are a lot better. I think that it's a good compromise. You know, you create some rules, and if people... And if they're reasonable rules and people can follow them, they will, you know, especially artists and artisans who our main focus is to work, is not to...
Where are you usually located so folks can find your handicraft, your art?
The last few weeks I've been placing myself on Pacific, and then I would go on the beach on the weekends. But the beach, I was told this weekend by an officer, very nice officer, that we could not... place there. And it wasn't because of me, really. I realized that from the morning that it was going to happen, because there was just too much panhandling, too much mess with the punky kids, and, you know, the whole give me money, I want beer and drugs thing. That just doesn't work. It doesn't work here. It doesn't work anywhere. That's just counterproductive. And I understand why the officers would not want it, and the residents and the people of Santa Cruz would not want it. I wouldn't want it.
They wouldn't want you. You're not asking for drugs or beer, and you're setting up handicraft. You know, they don't close down shops because people are doing things in front of the shops that they don't like. Why would they tell you to move? That's not a rational response.
Yeah, I agree and I disagree. I agree because, yeah, I'm doing my own work, and, you know, I am an artist, and I even have a degree in art. And I disagree because, you know, they, as an officer, they have the rules already set, and the kids are using those rules to get away with their own things, which is putting up signs and panhandling for things that are really not needed.
And this is silly. This is kind of a contradiction that he's talking about here. I try to get into this with him later, but don't do it too well. If the rules are set and the kids are using the rules to do things that the officers don't like, and so the officers are just then ignoring the rules to go after the kids, and he somehow is sympathetic with this, I'm not sympathetic with that particular position. I think police have to use the law as law, and if they are trying to, you know, expand on that, as police perennially do in Santa Cruz, and that's one of the reasons we have the expanding law, is that city council essentially moves to cover the tracks of the police officers. This is what happened in 1994 and 2002 and 2003 and again in 2009. It's my impression that the police harassment and selective enforcement stepped up. They walked outside the boundaries created by the city council. And so the city council just expanded the boundaries and contracted the boundaries of public space for poor people, the areas where you're allowed to sit, peacefully spare change, perform for donation, or politically table.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're not talking about homeless people. have no alternative. We're talking about kids who have chosen to make drugs their alternative and who are picking to...
Now, you say this because you've observed...
Because I've been on the streets for 20 years.
Right. Rather. Specifically in this particular case, it's easy to make, to do a stereotype. And it's also, you know, one can actually see people doing a drug deal later, and so you know that the person was getting money for drugs. But of all the people you've seen, what percentage of panhandlers were actually seeking drugs that you actually could confirm that was the case?
Well, I don't say that they're seeking drugs. It's that they use the it's a joke that they do. They put these little signs up out of cardboard, and they say, I need a beer, why lie? I need a beer, or why lie, I want to join, any donation helps. And that's fine, you know, at least they're being honest about their situation. But what I'm saying is these kids, and I know this because, like I said, I've been on the streets for 20 years. I talk with these kids. I deal with these kids constantly on a friendship basis. I've tried to teach, and I've taught to work at least 30 kids over my lifetime, right? And some of them use that and get up and get off the ground. Some of them don't, you know. But what you cannot promote is that these kids continue life thinking that this fatalism of this youth is promoted through this drug consumption, and it gets worse and worse. I know I've lived there, like I said, I lived it here in Santa Cruz 10 years ago with a couple of kids who were friends of mine. They were heroin addicts right there on Pacific Avenue, and it was horrible. It's horrible to see them destroy themselves, and it's horrible to see it today.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is that, and you know, nobody favors drug abuse. It isn't good for people generally, and there's probably more drug abuse behind closed doors, obviously, mm-hmm. than the visible drug abuse you see on the streets. It's, to me, major
but
hypocrisy.
It's not that it's visual.
Right. But what I'm saying is that if there are rules that allow people and should allow people to panhandle for whatever they want or and whatever they need, then it seems strange to me that they're, you're saying the kids are using these rules to get around. Well, if they can use the rules to get around, then you should be able to use the same rule to be able to do your legitimate activity. And if the police are closing you down, even though there's a rule that allows both of you to have the option to be there, then that's wrong. And it's an example of bad police behavior based upon they're going to get rid of these kids and you'll also have to go because they don't want to pay attention to the rules. That is to say, the police don't want to pay attention to the rules because they don't like what they think is the social climate developing. That's a police decision. I don't agree with it. I think the whole business of how they're dealing with drug problems is pointless, doesn't work. You apparently see some positive changes, so maybe you have a different perspective on that.
I do. I seriously do. I mean, like I said, I've been on the streets 20 years, my friend, and I can tell you that, you know, most places are gone down the drain. This place hasn't. Mm-hmm. This place hasn't, you know. And it's a tolerance attitude that there is. And when it comes to what happened on the beach, there's a specific rule that says we can't set up on the beach. And they had let me set up for
I see.
The,
so they let an exception.
They had made an exception for me on the weekend.
I understand. And my point is badly chosen. But again, about Los Angeles, you're talking about Venice, and I'm glad there was a victory there. I'm talking about downtown Los Angeles, mm-hmm. where there are whole rows of people in tents on the street. Mm-hmm. That was supposedly legalized under a court decision in 2006 and a settlement by the city a year or two later. Have you been downtown in downtown L.A.?
I don't hang around there, no.
Yeah.
But I do know the situation, and I have people, I know people who do hang out there. Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Are they allowing people to do that, or are they cracking down there, too?
No, they do allow people. They don't have a choice there. They really don't have a choice. They lost that battle already. Yeah, they lost that battle.
The police, you mean?
Yeah.
But it's not,
the battle shouldn't be about being able to sleep on the streets. The battle should be about getting people off the streets.
Oh, for sure.
Into a proper and appropriate
for sure.
situation.
But until that happens, you don't want to be arresting people for doing what they have to do.
If this city wants to become a real example for what could become good, you know, and use a bad situation turn into something positive. For example, I'll give you an example. In Donosti, Spain, northern Spain on the coast, I've traveled all over the world doing my work. They have public showers that are just They're amazing. I mean, you walk in, they sell you little soaps for 25 cents that are donated by hotels. Mm-hmm. They let you borrow lockers. You know, you can rent them for 25 cents a day. Mm-hmm. You know, they give you fresh towels. So you, and then the people who are on the streets at least are clean and have an option that if they want to get a job, they can take a shower and go get a job, you know.
Yeah, but you're enabling all those junkies and drug addicts and mentally ill people and those layabouts. I mean, these are homeless by choice. These are people who don't want you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I understand what you're saying, but see, that's the point. What are you going to do? Enable them to stay in the situation, or are you going to enable them to get
They'll never change. They're a bunch of drunks and bums, man.
No, it's not like that.
No, it's not. But, you know, even if it is, you don't criminalize people for doing what they have to do.
You don't criminalize people for being homeless. That's the first point. You do not criminalize people for being poor. That's the first point. And when people assume that attitude, then I have a problem with it. But like I said, you know, I was
Santa
here.
Santa Cruz has become increasingly like that. You probably just haven't seen it, but the laws have gotten worse and worse for poor people.
I've heard of that. I heard that before I came here, and I was scared about it before I came here. But really, to tell you the truth, as far as being an artist goes, like I said, being homeless is and just playing out, not doing anything to get yourself.
For example, you're illegal right now. The two of us are illegal right now. We're not allowed to talk in this parking lot unless you are parking or retrieving your vehicle or walking through. That's the law. Now, we haven't police haven't come by and they haven't enforced it, but if they want to, they can crack down immediately. So you might say, well, you know, they're taking a very tolerant attitude. Yes, but do you want your liberties to rely on the tolerant attitude of a police department? I don't.
No, I don't either, and I don't think that the tolerant attitude is really coming from the officers. I think it's coming from an attitude that the city's assuming towards, at least because the rules are written. I've seen them. I have a copy of them. The rules about...
You know it's illegal for you to be here?
No, I mean the rules about bending on the street.
Right, but I mean, here you are. Part of the time you have to survive. Part of the time you have to park your vehicle, take care of your son. You have to have a place to sleep. It's completely illegal for you to do any of that. Now, they're tolerant, maybe.
Well, I just hide.
Well, that's Mike Rodkin, our mayor's rule. You know, hide out. That's his approach.
No, I just hide and make it stay out of their visual, stay out of people's lawns and houses, and don't pee and don't dirty things so that people have...
Yeah, but it's not even that. The number of places for people to hide is dropping, is what my understanding is. But, of course, you want to avoid those things.
Yeah, but
those things are already illegal. They're not, you know...
Man, you know, because, like, I'm maybe the wrong person because I understand that the perspective is to, you know, that there's a problem and that there's two sides. I think two sides need to come together, man.
No, perhaps you can be the man who brings them together, Ulysses.
I doubt that, man.
One of them, you know. Thank you for giving me the interview. Anything you want to conclude with?
Yeah, thank you, Santa Cruz. Thank you, brother, for helping me 10 years ago. And thanks, Santa Cruz, because sincerely, since I've been here, I've been treated very decently, and I'm very, very, very grateful for that.
How can people get in touch with you? Do you have an online...
I have an email.
What is that?
Peregrino2001@hotmail.com, which is peregrino2001@hotmail.com.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Pleasure. And the name of your son is?
It's Matutu.
You want to say something for free radio?
No.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And keep up the work, man. I'm telling you, you might not see it. Because...
And you're tuned to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz or Freak Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and we are, in fact, streaming at freakradio.org. Hopefully we'll be back on the air soon. But if you have any transmitter information for as far as having a site for us, we're looking for a site in Santa Cruz, or even if we found one, and I think we may have found one, we'd like to know about other ones, too, in the event that this landlord gets scared away by the FCC. So give a call to 427-4523. That's the message phone, 427-4523. You've been listening to interviews on the street that I did in the last week. And I generally wander around with my tape recorder. A lot of focus on Peace Camp 2010, where tonight there's going to be a special event. Singing and Drumming for Peace, 7:45 to 8:15. Bring a blanket and a hand drum for participation. According to Coral Reef, this is, she writes, come and be part of the event and imagine a world where the rights of two-leggeds are sacred because we live and breathe in a world together and the cost of the power of others upon others where they no longer control the space they eat, walk, and sleep in. There can be a world where they dwell together with due respect. singing Lakota Warrior and Thanksgiving and songs for help, along with other languages, using drums to connote the heartbeat. That's going to happen down at City Hall, Peace Camp 2010, in about half an hour, if it's not already happening. I think I heard 7:30 at one point, though the Indy Bay message does say 7:45, so somewhere around that time they're going to be meeting. And there may even be one of the standard what are we going to do next meetings and community meetings of the Peace Camp 2010, which they've been holding regularly every night at 8:15, which I'm going to wander into and see if I can pick up some ideas or pass on some ideas or who knows what. We'll see. That's again down at City Hall, right across from the main library, downtown Santa Cruz, on Church Street. I'm sorry, on Center Street between Locust and Church. So check it out. Let's hear some more interviews from early this week. I believe that one was from Monday morning, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, well, now we're talking about 5:30 here down in front of the Red Church where I just came from, Penny University, and then there's the Ronnie's service is happening. But I have run into a man we talked to earlier today, and your name, sir, is Patrick. Patrick, I know you and John, who's a vet, who sometimes has a lot of stuff with him and talked about a shopping cart stop when he was trying to return a shopping cart to Costco, as he described it, although carrying some of his own stuff. We had a conversation in front of the libraries, the side of the library across from the City Council Chambers, Peace Camp 2010 web area where people had previously been sleeping. And you apparently then took off with John to kind of head for the bank. You were on foot, or?
Yes, we were, sir.
And what did you find? What happened on the way? Which bank were you headed for?
Well, we were headed for Wells Fargo, which is right across from the parking lot close to Trader Joe's.
And what happened as you headed that way?
John saw a dumpster that he likes to look in and asked me if I wanted to go up to it and look in with him.
Is it a locked dumpster?
No, it is not.
And what was this, some sort of private business? Or?
No, it's just in a parking lot that people park their cars. Nothing else there.
Okay, and so he began throwing stuff in four different directions. He was screaming and raging. He was never.
No, he wasn't doing any of those things. As a matter of fact, we were just about to get to look into the dumpster when the police pulled up on us really fast and kind of startled me.
And what how many officers were involved?
Two.
You know who they were?
Winston or Wilson?
Winston.
Winston. And
Wilson is a shorter fellow. Warren is a taller guy.
And Warren.
And Wilson is the woman.
No, Wilson is a male.
Oh, there's another Wilson now. Okay.
Wilson or Winston. His other partner, and then a third did show.
So what was their concern, that you were walking toward a dumpster, or what?
That we were looking in a dumpster that wasn't ours.
Uh-huh. Trying to get trash that wasn't yours, eh?
Right. And they said that it was, there's a law, or that we were breaking the law.
Scavenging, yeah.
Scavenging.
And what,
We had nothing at the time.
Right.
We didn't get anywhere, but I was pulling a backpack out of there.
Right.
Because it looked reasonably decent. I'm homeless in camping, so backpacks do help my situation quite a bit.
Right.
So I ran into a broken zipper, needed another backpack, so I was going to get it out.
Uh-huh.
Which then they said, throw that damn thing back in there, right. And do you know who you're hanging out with?
Uh-huh.
I said, yes, I do. I've known this man for about 20 years.
Uh-huh.
He's always been upfront and a good man to me. I don't know what problems you guys have with him, which then they broke in and they said, hey, we're going to be busting him.
Uh-huh.
For, I don't know exactly what he's done to ruffle their feathers, but the police says directly to me, if you know what's good for you, do not be hanging out with John Valley anymore, because you will get the same exact treatment he's getting.
Hmm, very interesting. So apparently you are also a master criminal, eh? What are your skills? Are you a bank robber, perhaps?
No, I am not.
Rapist, perhaps?
No, I am not.
Did you burn down City Hall?
No, I have not.
Would you like to burn down City Hall?
No, I will not. I do not.
All right. So what was your response to this?
I said basically that I was going to just get some money that was owed to me, and then I was walking to the bank with John, and there was nothing else to it. Which then they said, well, okay, put your hands behind your back and assume the position, grab the dumpster, and do you have anything that were could, you know, like knives, guns, needles? I said, no, I do not, sir. Which then they commenced to search me up and down.
Did you give your permission to search?
Yes, I did.
Are you on probation or parole?
Yes, I am. Probation.
And you have a
court probation.
But you don't have a search clause.
Yeah, I do have a search clause, which I was kind of forced into pleading no contest for a charge that I had, because they told me if I took it to jury trial, I'd get double the time that was offered.
Who was your public pretender?
At one time, I can't remember his name right now, but he's a good guy. And
not that good a guy, apparently.
Well, I got in there and did not have a public defender at that time. At that time, it was just the DA, me, and the judge.
What was the charge?
The charge was 11-550.
Controlled substance?
Which could be under the influence of alcohol. Okay. It could be under the influence of meth and drugs.
Yeah.
But from when I told them 11-550, they automatically said, oh, drugs.
Right.
They didn't give me an option of alcohol.
You mean at the court or on the street with the cops?
No, on the street with the cops at the dumpster.
I see.
So I gave them the right to go in my backpack, search it up and down.
No, you didn't have any option, right?
I didn't have an option.
I guess you can always say, you don't have my consent to search, even if there's a search clause. I'm not giving it, but do what you want to do.
Right, and no, I gave them the consent to do it, because I'm not trying to hide anything or do anything wrong.
And that's a real mistake to use that mantra. You don't have to be, to prove you're not hiding anything or doing anything wrong. And stripping down for the police. You have a right to privacy. You have a right. The police have no one else has a right to look or search you generally. This notion that if there's nothing wrong, then, you know, we have a right to search you is hogwash. You know, turn it around to the police officer and ask him if you can search him, if he's doing nothing wrong. I mean, that's ridiculous. And it's I think it's a mistake that's often, a trick that's played, a kind of a device used by the police. If you have nothing to hide, let us into your house. We can search through the whole house, and you're fine. You can prove to us you're innocent. No, that's not how the system is supposed to work. That sets the way for all kinds of abuses of power, and that's what, to some extent, the American Revolution several hundred years ago, was all about.
And like I said, I was just kind of startled, and I think that they're riding John a little bit hard. The guy has been around for years. I don't think that he's burning anything down or really harming anybody.
Not to mention his associates.
Right, or his associates. But, you know, I think that the police are preying on homeless and people that are down and out.
So after they searched you, then what happened?
They said, well, Mr. Falconer, you have a good day.
As they've helped, of course, make that happen.
As they, yeah. And so I said, okay, is that it? And they go, that's it.
What about John? Did they search him?
No, they did not.
They just slandered him in front of you.
Slandered him in front of me and let him go first.
I see.
But they used him as an example, so I don't know how he got out of there unsearched.
He was the excuse to fuck with you, apparently.
Right.
But they want to fuck with him, but they feel here's a vet. He has problems. That really kind of, you know, besides we've got all this shit, we got to book into property if we take him in.
Yeah.
But here you are, we'll just try to isolate him by telling you to leave him alone.
Exactly.
And then you're, you know, in that difficult situation. Again, we've been talking with
Patrick. And, I just want to bring up the fact that they did make us split up. They didn't make us, but we did have to split up because I felt uncomfortable after they told me not to.
They intimidated you, and they essentially cut him off from his support.
Exactly.
Do you have any thoughts about this?
I think it's totally unjust to isolate a human being that way.
And again, we're talking with...
I'm Audrey.
Thanks, Audrey. I'd ask you more, but I've got somebody waiting. I got to go talk to her. So.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. See you maybe at peace camp. Who knows? Here we are about 8:15 talking with Puck. And Puck, you're munching a little something here. It looks tasty. But sometime this afternoon, the police were munching on, or shall we say, baiting some or giving some problems to people sitting next to the library?
Yeah, they were, most of them were kind of kicking back, laying down. And he came by and, like, kind of nudged them a little and, like, hey, Zachary's PD, get up. Can't sit here, can't stop here, can't camp here.
And did he tell people they couldn't, were the people who were lying on the sidewalk, he told people who were sitting on the bench? What exactly?
On the sidewalk and on the bench.
Now, was it only people who were lying on the bench, or was it people who were also sitting on the bench?
It was also the people that were sitting. He also, I mean, I was sitting up against the wall under the tree in the shade.
Right.
And he gave me crap for sitting there.
What did you tell him?
I told him that it's a free place. I was sitting in the shade to because it was 100 degrees, and he kind of went and walked away.
We don't know his name, though.
I didn't catch his name.
Short, feisty fellow?
Younger fellow, yeah.
A lot of younger police, so it's hard to say which is which.
Yeah.
Did anybody leave as a consequence of his harassment?
Yeah, the one guy that has been over in that little nook on the sidewalk, he got up and left. I think another guy got up and left.
How many people were actually there?
There were like five people.
About what time of day was it?
Oh, it was probably about 3:30 maybe.
We've been talking with?
Puck.
Thanks, Puck.
Totally.
So we're talking with...
Sarah Knapp.
And Sarah, I know that you're 5 months pregnant.
Yes, I am.
Or so you say. Can you prove it? You seem to have a swelling belly, but that could be because you're chunky.
Could be. Or the information's in property.
And so, what have you sought services in Santa Cruz for assistance with prenatal stuff and so forth?
Yes, I've tried to get food stamps, and I've tried to get into the shelter. I've tried everything, but I've been having very hard time getting into them. The shelter itself, the people running the shelter, the bosses, they have given me a runaround for anything and everything, between, from getting my mail to getting a voicemail so I can get phone calls and get a job and everything, to bus passes, things people need to get on their feet. I've gotten denied.
Now, what's the reason they've told you they've denied this?
That they didn't have time to help me, or they didn't have resources. So therefore, I went across the driveway to the doctor's office there that they have.
Homeless Persons Health Project?
Yes. And they've been more than helpful to help me, to the point that they might be actually trying to get me a hotel voucher.
But now, who did you talk to in the homeless service center who was not helpful? Do you have any name?
I didn't get no names, but they didn't refer me to anything, told me I have to be on a waiting list for everything, when I just walked right across the street and I got everything. I got a voicemail today. I got they gave me snacks. They gave me prenatals since I'm not on Medi-Cal yet, because I've been having to run around at social services too. So, I mean, they're out to help, but the high-up people aren't. So.
Now, you say that you've been crashing at the, or at least last night you crashed at the, can I say where you crashed?
Yeah.
Is that at the Duck Pond stage over in San Lorenzo Park? How many people were sleeping in the park last night, do you estimate?
Estimated visibly, I would count it about 30. Invisibly, where people can't see, I don't know. Personally, where I was sleeping, I had 5. And when the sprinklers turned on when we were on the, because we originally fell asleep on the grass, when the sprinklers turned on about 3 a.m., we moved to the cement stage part, and there was 4 of us left. So.
And were a lot of people deterred by the sprinklers? Did they leave the park? Or?
No, I believe me and the group that stayed there didn't know the timing of the sprinklers, and everybody else that stays there does, so they know where to move at what time. But no, people stay there every night. I mean, I have people asking me why I'm staying here, and I said because it's an issue that needs to be pressed. And they're like, well, you need to stay out of trouble. So.
Now, you've been ticketed here in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
How many times?
I believe I have 4 tickets right now.
What are they for?
My first ticket I got here was the first week I got here, and one was selling items without a local business license.
What items were those?
Apples. I was doing
selling apples.
Yes.
How much were you selling them for?
2 for $1. They were Washington apples that the UC Santa Cruz donated to us, a whole big giant box, and told us.
Us being you and Mark Greer.
Yes. And on that ticket was also.
And I believe the tape runs out here, sadly enough. And I don't. There may be some on the other side. I think. Let's see what we got here. Again, we're listening to, I think, Monday afternoon.
Sunny day. It may even be a hot sunny day. I never can tell. But it wasn't a sunny night for you. Well, it would never be, but who knows. When the police came up to you and told you, not just thou shalt not sleep, but thou shalt get a ticket.
Yes, I received a ticket for being behind, sleeping in my car behind a hedge. The neighbors had seen me there a couple of times, so they called the police on.
Did they come up to you and say, you make us nervous, you man in dark glasses, you could be a child molester, you could be an evil rapist, you could be a corporate executive hiding out planning to destroy our banking system again. Did they say any of that stuff to you? Were you warned by the neighbors that they didn't like your kind around?
No, I wasn't.
And what about the police? Did they say, sir, we've received a complaint from one of the real people who we regard as our masters. You're just a piece of scum. Get moved. Did they warn you before they ticketed?
No, they didn't.
And what time of night did you get the ticket?
12 o'clock.
And how did this happen? Were you actually asleep in your vehicle?
I had just laid down. I had just kicked my seat back and laid down. And I heard a car and didn't pay any attention, and it came and went, and I laid back down, and then later a police officer came to my door with his flashlight on me and asked me for my identification and my registration and proof of insurance, and I received all.
Well, for those who are listening, if you get citations of this kind, and since there's no shelter in the summer, unless you're on a waiting list that lasts 4 to 6 weeks for men, you can go to the Homeless Service Center at 115 Coral Street, at least that's what they say, walk in and say, I would like to have you write a letter to the court, and they give you a form that says, there is no shelter that night. And then supposedly when you take it to the court, which it'll only show up there in about a month or so, you got to wait a month to 2 months, you take it into court at your arraignment and you show it to the commissioner, Kim Basket, whom I normally recommend people disqualify, but in this particular case it might be okay, and she supposedly will dismiss it. And they may ask you over to put your name on a waiting list as the Homeless Service Center and do some sort of stupid intake. And if they do, if you do actually do this, go over there, and I'd like to know whether they give you this form or require you to sign up as part of their program.
I'll do that. I'll go down to River Street and ask them for a form.
Fair enough. My apologies on behalf of the rest of Santa Cruz. I think the sleeping ban is a violation of constitutional rights, a violation of common sense, fiscally irresponsible, counterproductive, and also something done in the absence of better alternatives that could be done. But that's what we got, and that's why we're protesting at Peace Camp 2010 at City Hall every night. So, or some people are, and I'm providing some support for that.
Very good. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, man.
I really have to correct something that's said there, because, and this is a real important issue that's come up, Sally Williams, the board of directors of the Homeless Service Center, and Monica Martinez, who's the executive director, kind of the person who does most of the supposedly daytime, she's the head cheese during the day at the Homeless Service Center. Well, generally, she's the operations manager, she's the person who you go to Sally is the head of the board of directors that meets once a month. And as I've said in past shows and played on Sunday, I played the entire board discussion or interchange between myself, Ed Fry, Linda LeMaster, and Monica Martinez and Sally Williams at the board meeting last Thursday, a week ago. They are now saying, Monica Martinez is clearly saying that they won't write you a letter for a ticket if you bring it in unless you were previously on one of their waiting lists. And I found that really kind of cruel and selfish and particularly self-interested in terms of this particular homeless service center wanting to get to swell its list so maybe you can get more funding. They kind of framed it as an issue of, well, we want homeless people to access our services and to get out of homelessness by getting on our waiting lists, which, you know, in a certain sense makes a certain amount of sense, but to try to convey, to deny people who are poor and outside and have no shelter a letter that says, we don't have any shelter here because you're not on their waiting list, is to me outrageous. Now, we didn't think it was enough for them to write a letter, even if you were or weren't on the waiting list. We thought that there should be a general letter. This is what Ed Fry and Linda and I wanted, at least what I wanted. I think it's what Ed wanted. I think it's what Linda. We were interested in this, is in getting a general letter that said from April 15th to November 15th, there's no shelter, period, for people who want to walk into a shelter. You can get on a waiting list and wait for 4 to 6 weeks, but you're not going to get shelter. And if that little letter is sitting on top of your sleeping bag when the policeman comes around and he still gives you a citation, he's engaging in cruel and unusual punishment. And if we ever found an attorney with the time and energy to take the matter to federal court, that might issue an injunction and damages against the officer involved and the city higher-ups who sent that officer out to do that. So, but we can't get the Homeless Service Center to issue that letter. Instead, they want to meet and talk about, let's all chat about this with the police department. Well, they don't need to chat about it with the police department. They need to just do it. Because it is true, they have no shelter. Why are they unwilling to put that on paper and say so? And that has been the concern that I've had. And I know that when Peace Camp 2010 was at the county building, they were actually planning to march to the Homeless Service Center and demand that they either be given shelter or given a letter stating there was no shelter and bring the media along for that purpose. And instead of doing that, we went and talked to the Board of Supervisors or the Board of Directors of the Homeless Service Center, and Sally said, well, we'll meet with you next week and we'll talk about it with the police and so forth. But then we got. Then she essentially said, well, we can't get the police to come in this short notice, and we can't. And Catherine Byers, a council member, wants to come, and Monica's out of town, so why don't you wait until September? Well, the problem with waiting, of course, on this issue is the status quo remains in place. No letters to people who aren't on the waiting list. No general letter that states there's no shelter, period, whether you're on a waiting list or not, on any particular night. And finally, Ed Fry's proposal that there be an immediate response when anybody calls a homeless service center at night to find out if there is a shelter bed or not. Now, this one, Sally Williams, the board of directors chair, seemed to say that they would be doing this or talking about doing this. And again, though, this is something that should be done immediately. There is no question that people are being harassed. Their sleep is being broken. They cannot function as human beings if they're being treated this way, not to mention their dignity destroyed and trampled underfoot. And all this is being done in the midst of a smear campaign against protesters and activists who are trying to raise the issue on a public basis. So it's a difficult situation, one that I'm going to bring up tonight at Peace Camp 2010, see what people think about it. And it really shows how hand-in-glove poverty pimps are with the the authorities, the police and the city council and the politicians. It's true in almost every major city where homeless people face essentially the same dilemma. That is to say, the people in power want to run them out of sight or out of town. It's very simple. And they don't really care about homeless services. They, however, have to provide a fig leaf, and they have to give the illusion that they're caring, and they have to persuade themselves that they care. Somebody they can look themselves in the mirror, but they're always using the excuse, it's a national problem, I can't really deal with it, we don't want millions of homeless people to come to Santa Cruz if we allowed them their civil rights. Yada, yada, yada. We heard that from Mike Rotkin in an interview, which you can go back and listen to. It's archived on the free radio, on the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, huffsantacruz.org. And I believe we've heard Kerbugger Chris say that he is going to be playing it on his alternative radio station, which is, I'm looking for the actual, it's UCIR.limewebs.com. It's Unbroken Chain Internet Radio, which Chris is putting out all the time. In fact, he's playing the Lakota drumming sacred ceremonies that are happening over at the Peace Camp 2010 now, even as I speak. At least that's what I'm told. So let's hear a little more from the, I think we're still talking Monday, August 23rd, interviews, me at Peace Camp. It's real hard for me to catch up with this stuff because I do so much tape and have so little relative airtime, and we'll see where we go. And in the meantime, you consider going if you want more information. Some stuff gets put up on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Indie Media, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Some stuff gets put up on the Peace Camp 2010.blogspot.com, the Peace Camp website. So check that out. There's always Mickey Mouse, who will weigh in every so often. And let's see if we can actually get something intelligible out of that.
Well, it's about 1:15. I'm here at the library where a number of folks are sleeping, perhaps in preparation to return to Peace Camp 2010 tonight. And John, you said that you were shopping, returning a shopping cart, and the police stopped you?
Well, yeah, they loved to pull me over.
And what happened?
Illegal possession of a shopping cart. It's private property. But it sure ain't Costco over by Loudon Nelson. So I was going up by the shelter this morning to sign up for laundry and shit. And lo and behold, here is this thing, pedestrian obstruction. And it's a shopping cart, belongs to Costco. Not mine, Costco's. So I was going to return it. And I may have put a few things in it, but so what? I move shit from here to there, and everybody's got a smile. So what? The point is, I got a ticket for getting a shopping cart. I think everybody got ticketed for something. And they had that sucker on all night long. If they didn't...
You're pointing at a generator.
Generator, correct the window, gas operated with the plug, and a bucket of high beam lights. Like, I don't know, sports event.
They're going to sleep with lights on their face.
And generator that's kicking up bad gas out of the exhaust. I got my friend with one of them 12-meter, but spectrographic. Give me that motherfucker. I don't trust you with it.
That's worse than mine.
I know. But I was a user in the dancing last night.
Well, anyways, Robert is here and he's recording. And,
sorry.
That's okay. But basically, we're just having problems with Patrick.
Yeah.
With
jurisdiction.
The police
using
knowing we're homeless.
Tactics.
Any other tickets that you know about, John, that happened here this morning?
I'm not sure. I wasn't paying attention. I'm minding my own business. And
was it true that there were 5 squad cars and 5 cops who pulled up and arrested Dreamcatcher?
Well, he had a warrant outstanding from down south.
I see. But, I mean, were they giving tickets to anyone else, as I understand they were?
I think so.
Yeah, and we don't know what they were
sure.
for, though.
I can't see very well without my glasses. And over on Union Street, whatever number, Suite 1, I can get surgically my cornea, the outside eyes, like, wait, can't put
operation.
In contact. But I can do a surgical trip with glass. They won't pay for frames, but they'll give me the shit that I'm going to almost go into a board and care for. I said, fuck it, I'll go blind before I'll deal with that shit.
Interesting.
My insurance won't cover it. SSI, SSDI in vets. I don't know why.
We've been talking with
John Valley.
Thanks, John. Anything else you want to say, Patrick?
Just that I hope we all get it together out here in Santa Cruz, because we all live here and we love it.
Right on. Well, and Dreamcatcher apparently has been returned to, from captivity, but he's sleeping.
And this actually is a conversation that happened earlier in the day. This is Patrick, and the John Valley's voice you hear, he's the guy that the two police officers, Patrick, said, warned Patrick that if he hung around with him, he would get the same treatment. And I believe that, I'm a little unclear on the time, but I think this may have happened, well, it's within a certainly a 12-hour period of the previous Monday afternoon conversation we had. It's maybe not that important to get the chronology right, but I'm a big chronological kind of guy. So.
Sleeping soundly, as are a number of other people. If you can't sleep during the night, I guess you have to sleep during the day. An exciting new approach that, who knows, maybe Santa Cruz will be taking up. We're talking with
Chris.
And Chris, you say on the internet you saw something, should we say, new and creative from China?
Yeah, they have a park bench that has built-in spikes that when your time is up, the spikes emerge.
A whole new approach to moving along undesirable people.
Maybe we shouldn't give them any ideas.
Maybe not. Thank you.
And I think that actually was an art exhibit that was sort of demonstrated sort of the anti-homeless, sort of an anti-homeless, a satire of anti-homeless devices. But I've got to research that closer, more closely.
What is your email?
My email is, for those who are interested, is rnorse3@hotmail.com.
All
right. R-N-O-R-S-E-3 at Hotmail. And up the street we have a bagpipe.
And it's about 10 to 10 after the third community meeting here at the Peace Camp 2010. And again, I'm talking with Sarah.
Nat.
And her pooch.
Malenko.
And the Klieg lights have gone on here. I've actually been interviewing you, Sarah, on the other side of this tape, and maybe we can actually hear some of that. I hope it hasn't destroyed most of the other good stuff I had there. But it looks like there's quite a number of people here. I see, of course, Sergeant Harms is chatting with Lee. We have a security guard chatting with Dave. It's Ed Fry on the bongos, Becky Johnson talking to him. I think there's Puck. And Todd and Frank Lopez. And then there's a very pregnant Diane on across the street, 9.5 months, sleeping with a couple other people, including Dreamweaver, who got a ticket, I should say Dreamcatcher, and Sarah, who's getting bored and wandering off because I'm making such a long monologue. Over here on this side of the street, library side, we've got Kerbugger Chris, we've got Art, we've got Vamp, we've got Paul, Linda, and Gary, and then this guy whose name I never remember.
Chaz.
So Sarah, hey David, we were talking about your experience of sleeping at in San Lorenzo Park at the Duck Pond, and you actually brought up at the community meeting. It's a kind of a nice area to be in the sense that it's kind of fortified if you're on the Duck Pond stage. On the other hand, you're trapped too if you're on the Duck Pond stage. So you're going to sleep here tonight? Oh, you were telling me how many tickets you have.
Oh, yeah. I have, I believe, 4, but from what?
One for doggy without a license because it's you different understanding from where you came from. One for selling apples.
Yeah.
And what are the other two for?
One is for illegal camping, which I found out now most likely is null and void because it was after 8:30 in the morning.
This is 6.36010A, or?
I'm not sure. I have to look at the tickets when I get it out of property.
And do you have a lodging ticket?
I believe so, too. I'm not
a misdemeanor ticket.
Yeah.
Find your court date on that and tell Ed Fry what the court date is.
I'm going to go through all the tickets, mine and Mark Greer's, and see which ones are needing to be addressed and which ones aren't.
Well, that's all for now, but I want a hug.
All right.
Thank you. I'm going to go on slow speed here. I'm talking to that radio personality
Hi, I'm Coral Reef.
And Coral, you have your Tangerine Dream Team show tomorrow night at, 7 to 10 or 7 to 8? Or?
Yes, if I run into my partner, Free,
he's
about
here.
That.
I know that you have some plans for
it. So, Robert, what do you have to say for yourself? Are you carrying out an
interview? Some legal counsel that I can bring my Native American drummers here Wednesday or Thursday night because they want to do a healing on this place. And
do it. And
it's going to be either Wednesday or Thursday, like before the Klieg lights go on. They said, I can't believe it's the floodlight of this torturous kind of activity going on. Maybe about 8?
Yeah, sounds good. We have a meeting at 8:15 every night.
Yeah, so we could do it like 7:45 then or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the plan, because I just asked them tonight.
That's the plan, Stan.
Yeah.
So we have a second police car with two more police officers arriving. We have a total of 4 police officers here, Sergeant Harms, and then we have another officer. I think we have an officer in the... Maybe that's Sergeant Harms' car. Two officers have arrived to chat. I'm not sure what he's doing. And the police officers are shaking hands with the security guard, and everybody's friendly here. Except that most of us aren't being paid by the city to harass the homeless, but these folks are.
It's harassment.
Sergeant Harms is a great wit. He's the person who turned on these torturous Klieg lights and started this toxic generator going. I always appreciate a good witticism from Sergeant Harms. He's a little morbid and mordant, but always very spicy. Yeah. Of course, you know, if we had a war crimes tribunal, I wonder if they would laugh at this kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't. There's some pieces of litter on the ground which say legalized dreaming. Oh, no, wait, those aren't pieces of litter. Actually, those are little signs. And the sign here in front of City Hall on the new table that was purchased a couple of days ago to replace the one stolen by the police. Say, trespassing at City Hall since when?
Ever since homeless people started protesting.
So we're talking with a visitor. What's your name?
My name's Wayne.
And Wayne, what's your thoughts about this this protest and the current city policy?
Unfortunately, Wayne's thoughts are going to have to wait until next Sunday, when hopefully the repression will wane. But I actually don't think so. Probably be stepped up. You've been listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides. These are interviews from Peace Camp 2010 last Monday, the 23rd. I'm going over to Peace Camp right now to check out the sacred drumming healing ceremony.
And just letting people know where you're going so you can get arrested on the way?
Certainly not. I believe that the police will give me safe conduct because I'm the greatest star born. Well, we won't get into that at this time. In any case,
a little full of yourself, huh?
Well, some people say I'm full of this, and others say I'm full of that. But you can help find out more about Peace Camp 2010.
Want a second opinion?
Well, another time, perhaps, Dennis. Unless you want to use the first half hour of your show to continue my show, which I'd be happy to do. Sunday is when I'm coming back, probably around 8:30 or 9, with flashbacks on Uncle Dennis's show. On Thomas Levitt's The Wake Up Call. And I understand that there may be an antenna rising soon for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Is that rumor true, Uncle Dan?
Yeah. The rumor is we may be back on the air Saturday. Take that as an unverified rumor.
All right. Well, let's hope the FCC doesn't hear this rumor and move to preempt us by threatening another landlord. Are we still looking for places, for alternate places to place the transmitter in the event that there's more pressure put on this particular landlord?
Well, it would be great to have a couple of spots lined up ahead of time. So even though we believe we have a spot for now, we need a spot for next time. So if you're thinking that maybe sometime in the future you'd like to host Free Radio, give us a call, leave us an email. Our voicemail, 427-4523, our email, frsc@freakradio.org.
And if you want to contact me between shows, if you want to help out Peace Camp 2010...
Just flag down an officer.
Officers are probably not the best approach, but you can call me at 423-4833. That's HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the dormant but still breathing organization concerned with civil rights for poor and homeless people.
Does it need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Only by certain people, and probably not by you, Dennis, at this time. Thanks again for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and thanks to Kerbugger Chris for putting this out. See you at Peace Camp 2010.
Traffic there to start off the show. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1. You wish. You could tune to 101.1. But all you'll hear there is some really bad low-powered Christian rock. But we're streaming currently on the web at www.freakradio.org. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice, that's what you're doing. Either that or you're standing in the studio and you're completely invisible. I am Uncle Dennis. This is a show called From the Cream to the Dregs. And for those programmers who happen to be listening, yes, Saturday at noon is the work party to, you know, our standard engineering work time. Saturday at noon, and we're going to see what we can do about getting antennas installed, destalled and installed. And as soon as that happens, it will just be a matter of moments before we can reunite our transmitter with the antenna and get back on the air. So anyway, that's the plan. That's the rumor. If you are a programmer, show up at our former transmitter location at noon and help out. The good thing is you can walk to our new transmitter site. That's the deal. All right, we are going to be playing music of the 60s and the 70s up until 11 o'clock tonight with a couple of minor little usualities. First it is that in a few minutes we will be opening up the Brew of the Week, and that's always an interesting thing to do. And then at 9 o'clock we will have the Earth First Update, a half an hour of environmental news that you can use in your everyday life to do whatever you need to do to keep life rolling along. Anyway, then, of course, at 10 o'clock, we have a special feature of our show. Every week, we play a different vinyl album. We call it our Spotlight Group of the Week. And don't know what it is this week yet, but we're always open to suggestion at 427-4523. Or excuse me, 427-3772. 427-4523. You can leave a voice message. But anyway, let's get back to the music here with something from Merle Saunders, an album that came out about 20 years ago now. It's called Blues from the Rainforest. This one called Sri Lanka.